Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Hey, hey, it's James Stewart, a generally credible radio personality. He is Mike Sarge Riley, a walking advertisement for any product that you'll pay him to promote as long as it gets him over. Mike, how are we?
That's right, and I am proud to say I am a walking advertisement for three wonderful products that have changed my life. But Jimmy, we go to you for all the sources because, yes, you are a generally credible radio source. Keep up the good work, Jimmy.
I like gossiping radio producer, but that's been addressed already. First things first, shout out to Tommaso Ciampa for winning the NXT championship. He's the best villain in wrestling by far, and he's had two of the best matches in the ring this year against Johnny Wrestling. Well, actually, he's had one of the best matches since the New Orleans match, of course, wasn't a sanctioned match. Wink, wink. We'll be seeing him in Lowell at NXT in a few weeks, but Ciampa has been tremendous, or as he wants to be called now, Ciampa.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you know, you and I had the pleasure of meeting him at the Fan Fest, the Access at WrestleMania.
WWE Access.
Yes, at WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. Could not have been a nicer guy. He had the crutch. And one thing I will take away from him when I met him, when he said, "Sarge, I dig your nickname." And I'm like, "You are the man, and you're going to be the greatest champion ever, baby." So, yes, shout out to Ciampa, baby.
You're welcome for me putting him over to you and Andy. You're welcome.
You're a fine American, Jimmy. Good work.
Of course, the lead story this week is the WWE has announced an all-women's pay-per-view for Long Island, New York on October 28th called Evolution. Evolution, of course, is a mystery. This show will feature all women under contract to the company who are ready to perform in the ring, including NXT and the UK rosters. They have also promoted Lita, Trish Stratus, tried in English or Canadian, and Beth Phoenix. Mike, what are your initial thoughts on this?
Well, obviously, being the homer that I am here, we know that Boston was supposed to get a pay-per-view the week before, and we did talk about this in our previous episode of Wrestling Inside the Ropes here on 98.5 The Sports Hub podcast, that Boston is now getting the super show of a house show, which will be the week before. It was supposed to be tables, ladders, and chairs. So, yes, I would really had liked to have seen it happen here in our own backyard for the first ever time for an all-female pay-per-view. So some questions surrounding that on my end, why it didn't happen here and why they had to do it in Long Island. The only thing I can think of that I'm trying to answer myself is it's a smaller venue, the Nassau Coliseum. It's an older one, too. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, Jimmy, but the Monday Night Raw here in Boston just a couple of weeks ago, July the 9th, half of the balcony was blacked off. It was not a sellout. Now, maybe it was a summer. I understand people are away, tough time, but maybe they got worried about that, and that's why they called the audible to put it down in Nassau Coliseum. I'm sure there was more to it before that, but I really wish Boston got it. That would have been really cool to have seen that. You could have had something like the Hell in the Cell, the first ever women's Hell in the Cell match, which was here between Sasha Banks and Charlotte. And build up Sasha Banks with the Boston connection, too. It could have been a nice thing for the card there. But I understand. I get it. And I'm just guessing it's because of the smaller venue for Long Island. But great opportunity and history being made here in the women's evolution, as the WWE is calling it here. Kind of reminds me of the Royal Rumble last year, Jimmy. First ever women's Royal Rumble. Bringing back some alumni. Same deal there. But this is going to be really cool. I'm very excited for it.
So let me read from Meltzer as it regards to the Boston element of it. He said in The Observer this week, quote, Obviously, this decision was made a few weeks ago when they pulled the scheduled October pay-per-view show from Boston. I'm not sure why they didn't just put this show on the Boston date. Perhaps they wanted to announce a big show in New York, in the New York market, before Ring of Honor New Japan put tickets on sale for their Madison Square Garden show WrestleMania weekend. I don't think it goes that deep. My speculation, I don't know anything. I'm gossiping here. Maybe the Long Island show will have different ticket price than Boston. In other words, what happens is the venues, in this case Boston and Long Island, they are either being paid X or they are paying X for a particular show. Everybody knows that cities bid on WrestleMania. So I wonder if the price point for this women's show will be slightly less because it's a smaller, different building and there are different regulations for how those buildings are run financially. So that could be one reason why. Mm-hmm. Me, I love the idea of a women's pay-per-view show. The problem that I have with it is WWE is coming across, and they have been for a long time now, like they're the first people to ever do this. Like, here we are. We're the innovators for the women's movement and the women's evolution. They're not. You can do your research. You can figure out who did it first and
right.
All that fun stuff. I would have loved to have attended an all-women's pay-per-view. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I was proud to be part of the first ever women's main event on a pay-per-view when it was Charlotte versus Sasha Banks at Hell in a Cell a few years ago. But what I will tell you is that I am thrilled we have a live event super show. I mentioned this in passing in the last episode. And allow me a shameless plug here. Shout out to our guy Billy Smith and our gal Kat.
Awesome.
The WWE VIP experience is fabulous. That's going to be part of the super show at TD Garden on October 21st. Mike and I have done it in Boston and in Worcester. Billy Smith is part of our VIP family, or we're part of his VIP family. We've gotten to meet Kevin Owens, Charlotte Flair, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, all three members of New Day.
Yep.
So if you're going to do the VIP, if you're going to go to this live event, do the VIP. We'll likely be doing it. You get a close seat. We've sat front row. You'll get a swag bag. You'll get to meet some WWE superstars. Sometimes they let you walk the aisle. Just a fabulous experience. I know when we walked the aisle in Worcester, we were just overwhelmed with being in the center of a building and inside the barricade. It's kind of a cool feeling. And this will give you, if they have this option available, you'll be standing in the center of the TD Garden, which is kind of a cool feeling. I've had the opportunity to do it for Celtics events, but with a ring in the middle, even better. So that's the end of my shameless plug.
Just to add on that, Jimmy, it was a year ago you and I did the one in Worcester. We had Kat, and a little over a year ago with Billy at the Garden. And to second your motion on that, yes, definitely recommend it. And this one's a great opportunity, too, because it's both Raw and SmackDown. So you get the chance to get a combination of multiple superstars from both brands right there. So it's a super show, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when you really think about it for both Raw and SmackDown, because as you know, the house shows are just on one brand. So a dual brand here, save up your money, do it. It's well worth it.
And,
so
and the live event, the live events are generally better than TV.
I agree.
I mean, if you're ranking it, I go live event, pay-per-view, and then the regular Monday, Tuesday TV show. But that's me. So VIP fam, we hope you see it. We hope to see you October 21st at TD Garden for the live event.
Gonna be good.
They should have had this pay-per-view in Boston at the TD Garden. They could have easily had a main event of Sasha Banks versus Ronda for the women's championship. And I 100% would have had Sasha Banks go over so that the WWE could make up to the Hell in a Cell crowd that Charlotte basically silenced by beating Sasha in the main event in what I would argue is the greatest Hell in a Cell match ever. That's obvious that I would argue. I mean, Charlotte went over, silenced the crowd, greatest Hell in a Cell match ever.
It was definitely a shocker, and I really did enjoy the ending on that. I thought it was fantastic to have everyone walk out stunned like that, set up a storyline, and kept that rival going for a long time. So Sometimes, as you know, Jimmy, the hometown favorite always ain't the favorite in the WWE, which we have seen for years.
So, Mike, you want to play the guessing game of what the main event for this women's pay-per-view could be?
Sure. Let's see here.
I will let you go first with the main event.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. So I'm going to go with whomever the SmackDown champion is, and they'll be fighting the Raw champion. So I will say at the time.
So you think that they're going to do a Survivor Series thing where they're going to have the red versus blue champion?
Yeah, well, Survivor Series, I know they did that last year. However, though.
Which Charlotte won.
Yeah, she did. And who would she beat there?
Alexa Bliss.
Thank you. Okay. So I think this is where you could kind of tie it in a little bit. Like, hey, if the Raw champion, or you could have a situation where they would switch brands potentially, maybe put both belts on one brand there and then try to get it back for Survivor Series, setting it up on that spectrum. You know what I mean? It's a good little layup.
It's a good outside-the-box idea, Mike. I like it.
Yep. Yeah. No, thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate that. You usually don't like my ideas. But anyways.
Usually because they stink.
Takes one to know, and you're the one changing diapers there, pal. But anyways, I think it's going to be the Raw versus SmackDown champion, and you're going to see Alexa Bliss, and she'll be fighting Becky Lynch.
Interesting. So I like where your mind's at, where it's title for title, red versus blue. I like that idea. I'm going to think a little bit bigger for you.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
Ronda Rousey against Stephanie McMahon.
Stephanie McMahon?
Yep.
Okay.
And here's now my thinking is that Stephanie has been at the forefront of this women's revolution evolution.
Mm-hmm.
They have seemingly, I think Ronda's going to be on Raw, so they'll bring her back.
Right.
And that's kind of the underlying program is that they're doing McMahon versus a rebel babyface. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? What better way to have a women's only pay-per-view with a proven pay-per-view draw? And that's Ronda Rousey. And Stephanie McMahon is a special attraction. And this is the main event for their first ever show. Because Stephanie was on commentary for the Women's Royal Rumble match. And she was a featured part of WrestleMania this past year in New Orleans in the same ring as Ronda Rousey. And you know what?
It was a great match.
I bet they would have Stephanie go over because you now set up for a third match at some point down the road because Ronda won in New Orleans, Stephanie wins in Long Island, and then there's a third match at some point down the road, or they just leave it a split.
But that would be your main event.
That would be your main event, 100%.
See, I think I like that. I don't know if I would put that per se as a main event. I think that could be your second to last match or third to last. And the second to last one, you ready for this, Jimmy? I would do, you do a battle royal. And I know they'll have the Royal Rumble again.
That's your opening match.
It could be, yeah, that could be that too. But the battle royal will happen there, and they get to choose the champion of the brand or whoever they want to fight. They get to choose whichever one, whether you're on Raw or SmackDown. You choose no matter what. That's it. Boom.
So I have two more matches that I would put in the featured spot here.
Okay.
One of which would be Charlotte versus Asuka 2.
Okay.
And it would be an opportunity for Charlotte to go up 2-0 on Asuka. Of course, that wouldn't happen. They'd 50-50 book that too. But I think Charlotte versus Asuka, you know, all joking aside with my love for Charlotte, but I think that's in the conversation for, you know, top five women's match in the company's history, which leads me to the other match that I would have featured here, which you could make the argument is the number one or number two best women's match in the history of the WWE company, and that is Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Okay, yep, I can go with that.
So my three featured matches would be Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie, Charlotte versus Asuka, and Sasha Banks against Bayley.
So the Sasha Bayley thing, it's only a matter of time before one of them turns on each other before SummerSlam. We know that's going to happen. And yes, that does propel this rival to go on further here, and that's a great opportunity right there for Evolution where they go at it, and that could be that may be a, I don't know, it could be a title match. You could see one of them as Raw champion at that time.
Oh, sure, 100%. 100%. But I don't think that necessarily that match needs it.
No,
as much as I'd love to see it. But I think that maybe this is why you've seen the Bayley Banks thing be their feud be stopped, started, because I think they were going to do it at WrestleMania. They decided against it. I think they were going to do it at SummerSlam. They decided against it.
Yep.
And now they're going to do it on the women's pay-per-view where it means all that much more. And
right.
the match that I'm referring to was NXT Brooklyn a few years ago where Bayley won the NXT championship from Sasha Banks. Fabulous match. If you haven't watched it, go to the network. Watch that. It's arguably, you know, 1, 2, 3 best women's match in the history of the company. So take the time and find that match and watch that match.
2015, the NXT takeover there. There you go. At the Barclays Center. So, yeah, that was awesome. And I could very easily see that happening. How about anything with Carmella? Would you have her?
So this is playing off of your red champion versus the blue champion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fourth on my list since we mentioned it as your idea. Championship for championship, go with that. But I think if you really just feature it around three big matches, mm-hmm. I think that's where it's going to sell. Because they've already said that all the champions are going to be there. I don't know if they got as specific as championships on the line. And one other cool little thing is Amber Moon has come out in an interview and has said that her dream opponent is Beth Phoenix.
Okay.
That might be a teaser for a match.
That could happen. And, you know, it just...
And Trish and Lita are going to be part of the show, too. So not necessarily that they would be in a match against each other, but that's, of course, a possibility, too.
And we saw at the Royal Rumble, Undertaker's wife, Michelle McCool, who actually had a really good performance in the ring. You know, and I'm really glad, just to go back to the original point, Jimmy, that they are doing the Women's Evolution pay-per-view. Because since they brought back the monthly shows where, you know, it's dual branded now, which I'm okay with. Now I am. A lot of the talent doesn't get time. You know, they don't have, like, the last one. We didn't see Sasha Banks or Bayley on the Money in the Bank. Extreme Rules. They weren't part of that one. So now here's an opportunity for those that typically are not on a monthly one. They have their own show and their own chance to have everyone in the spotlight there. Well-deserved, because it's a great, great group of talent there, and they really deserve the spotlight for what they don't get on the monthly pay-per-view. So very excited to see this happen here.
Follow-up question before we talk about the SummerSlam card, which is starting to come together if it's not already 100% finalized. Do you think that they will turn the women's division into its own show?
I could see it happening, but I don't see it happening within the next – by the end of the year.
You know, because a long-term idea that has just popped into my mind is at WrestleMania – They do a unification match for the women's championship. They do unification match for the men's tag team championships, and they make either a women's only show, or they put the women's championship on one show and the tag team championship on another show, and they merge all the tag teams onto Raw, for example, and they merge the women onto SmackDown.
I think that would be cool because I don't really like the two championships. I just prefer one champ. And I know a lot of wrestlers want that too outside of WWE. They've said that, that you and I know. And it's just, that would be cool. But however, the only problem is if you're going to have the 3-hour episode of Raw, which they've invested in so much right now, I think the women's division there, that's where it would be on Raw. The women would go to Raw, and then you put all the other ones on SmackDown on Friday, where next year they're going to Fox. And not taking anything away from the women there on Friday night, but I think Monday would be the better TV night instead of Friday. So with a 3-hour show, if that's going to happen, they'd be on Raw. Good idea. It wouldn't happen until at least that happens with the new contract with Fox. So that's what, October 2019? Is that what we're saying?
So this is my point in thinking that it's going to be WrestleMania.
I'm riding the coattails.
And maybe it's SummerSlam then. But the point is that Ronda Rousey is being promoted as the big get for Fox.
Okay.
And that's why in my mind, you put the women on SmackDown exclusively on Fox, and that way you have a singular draw.
So if Ronda Rousey continues
on this path, this is just me freestyling a little bit.
If that's the case, then you do the unification at SummerSlam next year, because that's way too much time between WrestleMania and the time they go to Fox, October 2019. But I do like that idea. I would ride the coattails of that. I could see that happening, yes.
Appreciate
I like
that.
It. Good work, Jimmy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's not bad for something that just came off the top of the dome.
Solid.
SummerSlam. Feature matches seemingly are in place now. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. Carmella versus Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens for the Money in the Bank briefcase, which I find interesting. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship. A SmackDown Tag Team Tournament is in process right now. The winners of that will face Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, and Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. I don't know if they have officially announced it. If they have and I missed it, I apologize, but that seems to be the track that they are going for that. Mike, how do you like that card?
I think that we're going to see a big change on the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns one, and I think you're going to see Bobby Roode involved on that one.
Bobby Roode?
Excuse me, Bobby Lashley.
You mean they're actually doing something with with the former Canadian Destroyer?
Because you know why? Because I had a glorious feeling in my head. That's why. Bobby Lashley, excuse me.
I don't even know if he was the Canadian Destroyer in TNA. It just popped in my head.
Bobby Lashley, I think, will be involved in the Universal Championship, because what you saw on Raw last week, the true sign of sportsmanship there with he and Roman Reigns, and then with Brock Lesnar coming back this week for Raw, I think he'll find his way in there to say, hey, I deserve a spot, and that will then become a triple threat match between the three right there. So that's where I think will be the big addition to the main event. Overall, though, I'm okay with the card. I really am. I like the Samoa Joe going for the WWE Championship. Glad to see him back in the picture. The Raw Women's title. Finally, Ronda Rousey's coming back on a TV. Love that Becky Lynch, my girl, is getting a shot at the SmackDown Women's title.
I have an off-air thing to tell you about Becky Lynch.
Okay, don't tell me now. But
I will tell you off the air.
All right, sounds good. And Jimmy, what did I tell you a couple of months ago, right after WrestleMania, with the superstar shakeup, that we are in for a treat in the Intercontinental Division here with Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins? This is going to be really good. Very excited to see what those two can do at SummerSlam. So overall, I'm okay with the card. What do you say?
I love the card. I love the card top to bottom.
Yep.
More on some of these matches in a moment. Are you interested in what Dave Meltzer has to say about Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns?
Let's hear it.
Oh, I thought might you maybe say no, but here's from Meltzer. Go ahead.
My name is not the guy that says the three letters about him. You know what I'm talking about.
Nice. That's a T-shirt. It's one of their best sellers.
It is a good one.
You can get yours over at boxofgimmicks.com. From Meltzer on Brock versus Roman, quote, "The last contract Lesnar signed right before WrestleMania was a two-show deal to end at SummerSlam. That doesn't mean he didn't secretly sign a new deal. Even though he shot an angle at the last UFC show and is now being drug tested, he hasn't signed with UFC and couldn't until September. If it is his last match of his contract, he would be expected to lose. But that was the same case at WrestleMania. Ultimately, it feels like Roman Reigns is getting the Universal Championship. But with the exception of Braun Strowman, there are no contenders being groomed. At one point, based on WWE lineups for the September 16th Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in San Antonio that was sent, they had listed Reigns versus Kevin Owens. But that doesn't necessarily mean a lot when plans change so frequently. Bobby Lashley would have made a good opponent, but Reigns beating him clean and then them shaking hands seems like the wrong result unless Bobby Lashley does a heel turn. The idea of Lesnar winning again and Strowman cashing in which would at least guarantee a big reaction would hurt Roman Reigns unless he turns heel. And a Reigns turn seems unlikely given he was their point man in accepting the ESPN Humanitarian Award. So they clearly consider him the new public face of the company, the guy they will push in the John Cena charity role, they being WWE.
Yep.
My opinion on all of this, Mike. I really want Brock Lesnar to win the championship. I want him to retain the Universal Championship. And why? Because I get a kick out of the idea that the wrestling internet might burn down. I mean, Twitter is going to have an absolute meltdown. The internet wrestling fan is going to it's that scene from one of the Batman movies where the Joker has this pile of money and he just lights one on fire and throws it in the background. That's what I want to see. I want to see everybody so miserable and unhappy because Brock Lesnar, this huge attraction for many, many years, who gets eyeballs, who doesn't care about you, the fan, who doesn't care about the precious championship, who just cares about his money and his $12 to $15 million per year. Real number, by the way. That's what he cares about. He lives in the woods. He still has a flip phone. That's how little he cares. He has Sable.
Hot wife.
And has Sable. And I'm losing my voice. I'm so excited. Like, I want Brock Lesnar to retain this championship for maybe ever.
Sable and I share the same birthday, by the way, August 8th. So, you know, save your gift money. But anyways, yes, you know what? I'm a big Brock Lesnar fan.
Apparently
really
not, since you've been ridiculing him for months about not defending the Universal Championship.
I'm not ridiculing
And in fact,
him.
I might send Brock Lesnar a message telling him about this, and I hope that he comes to the neighborhood soon, and I hope that he destroys you, because you versus Brock, you have no chance.
It's a good thing that I know Jimmy Stewart's got my back in a fight. But anyways, Brock Lesnar, I am a Brock Lesnar fan. What I don't agree with is what the WWE booking him. He should be defending that title every 30 days. What I think is going – no, I don't want him to be the champion.
Oh, I do. I want him to hold this championship forever.
Come on. Are you kidding me?
I want him to be the Universal Championship for like 4,000 days. Have him beat Bruno's record. It'd be awesome.
Well, I mean, you're on pace to do it now, but how many times has he defended it? At least Bruno defended it almost every, 2 weeks for that matter, okay? If you're not going to defend it, then you should not be the champion. And that's why, if he is going to be the champion, then be out there every pay-per-view. Inexcusable. But if he is not going to be the champion, go ahead, put it on Roman Reigns. He's your guy. Yeah, I know he's the new John Cena of this generation. There's no chance in hell that he turns heel. That'd be awesome if he did, but it's just not going to happen now. So here's your easy solution, which I've said before, and I'll say it again. Put the belt on Reigns right after you have your Money in the Bank cash in. Braun Strowman takes it off. He is your new champion at SummerSlam. Place explodes. It would be fantastic. Boom.
So I think that Roman finally gets the win here, and he probably will have a long run as Universal Champion after he beats Brock Lesnar.
But wait a minute. Hold on. What did you think about my take there having Bobby Lashley in, too?
Oh, I'm good with that. I thought Bobby Lashley should have been the one-on-one challenger a few weeks ago because there's a realism element to Bobby Lashley, and I think it makes sense, but Bobby Lashley just isn't – he's not over.
No, he's
got the credentials where he should be.
He's got the size and everything.
But again, I think I said this on our last episode that Bobby Lashley's best promo was with me.
It was. You put him over, Jimmy. Good work.
Right
here on Wrestling Inside the Ropes 95, the sports up Twitter at WrestleCast 95.
So unless Brock signed a new deal, Roman's going to win the championship and he's going to have a long run. Now, what I would do, fantasy booking wise,
okay.
Kevin Owens steals a win over Braun Strowman again, which would have him capture the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yep. Okay, so that's what you would do.
Kevin Owens interjects himself into this matchup of Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns because he never got his rematch for the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens finds a way to win the Universal Championship, and now Kevin Owens is your Universal Champion. And you still have Roman chasing, and you'll probably get a good response from the Brooklyn crowd because they generally like Kevin Owens,
yep.
and they hate Roman Reigns, and they probably hate Brock Lesnar, and they're indifferent to Bobby Lashley.
But the reason why I
leave out Braun Strowman is Braun doesn't need the championship. He's their Andre now.
I know everyone says that. That's the old thing, that he didn't need a title and he doesn't need it. But that'd be a cool thing, though. I mean, he's your monster in the bank. They're riding off of that. They get these hands. So many good marketing tools there. And then you're in New York City, big guy right there with all the skyscrapers. Here he is with the belt, the universal title right there. It just fits it perfect. It's a perfect bill. I can get behind your Kevin Owens thing. That would be cool. That would be a great surprise situation, shock the world. But I think Braun Strowman is the guy to carry you over past Brock Lesnar. He is the guy.
So we'll do some more SummerSlam card things as we get closer to the actual event later in August. I do want to run through a few different notes here from Meltzer. One relates to SummerSlam and a rumor. I will read directly from Meltzer. Quote, "The other match that has been thrown around has been an Undertaker versus John Cena rematch. There have been no hints at all on television in that direction, but if they are going to do a rematch, this would be the show for it to make sense and also give the show more of a special feel, since Undertaker rarely wrestles on pay-per-view if it's not WrestleMania and he did the MSG house show." What do you think? John Cena versus Undertaker here?
I sigh. I really do. I sigh on this one. As cool as it was to see them both in the ring at WrestleMania, and you know how I feel about The Undertaker. I love him.
That's He's your awesome. Favorite wrestler of all time.
He is. And it just, he can't work one-on-one, okay? That house show at Madison Square Garden, it was a six-man tag. I know John Cena will do the work for him. He's good. He'll make The Undertaker look good or whatnot, but I know the ship has sailed. That was the most painful thing, to see him lose to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 33. It killed me. I nearly didn't make the flight home the next day. I was so depressed. But
I thought that was because you were overserved.
Keep that on the hush. But anyways.
That was a different WrestleMania. My fault.
Yeah, that's all good. No worries. But however, though.
You were tied up.
All right, let's talk about this off the air, please. I think that The Undertaker, it would be, it just seems forced, Jimmy. Like,
here's why The Undertaker's name is coming up so much. Because he's got two new hips.
So if he's got the two new hips, and if he's willing to do it, go ahead. But however, though, I think that the end has already come for him. And if he's going to go out, you go out at WrestleMania, and that'll be your swan song. And then he goes into the Hall of Fame the night before and then has that one last match there. Now, you could make it a trilogy if you want with he and Cena. You could do that where Taker fights him again here at SummerSlam, and then he gets him at WrestleMania next year in New York, going into the Hall of Fame the night before, and then has that one last hurrah match. But I don't know. I have mixed feelings on this one. I don't see the need to have it happen. Would it be cool? Yeah, they're two legends, but I just don't see the need to have it happen. What say you, Jimmy?
So I don't think that SummerSlam needs Undertaker versus John Cena, and if they were to have the match, I would just have Undertaker destroy John Cena again and then have a third match at WrestleMania, and maybe you have some championship stakes on the line in some form or fashion. And then you have Cena get the win, and that's Undertaker's swan song.
And going into WrestleMania, you know, Cena was actually really good on the microphone. Like, he was
Cena, when he amps it up, he's the best promo. And,
awesome.
And that's something that Cena and Paul Heyman are the two best promo people that they have. And there's a clear drop off from there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. And, you know, I remember the quote he said, "The Undertaker's a coward." And, you know, it was just funny leading into the WrestleMania and the way he just built it up. And sure, Taker comes back and kicks his ass within a matter of like 10 seconds. So it just, again, unnecessary, but we'll see. If it happens, I'm not going to be super disappointed. I really won't, because it'd be cool to see them both there.
So one final note from Meltzer that I want to get your take on, Mike, actually relates to WrestleMania in New York. Quote, Elias has been teasing a confrontation with The Rock. There's been talk of The Rock being interested in wrestling at WrestleMania this year. If there's no scheduling conflict, it would be expected he'd make an appearance in some form at the show, but he hasn't wrestled in years. This is something that's been talked about internally. He may figure if he wants to just do another match and at 46, there's just so long he can put it off for, or he'd risk being limited out there. His body isn't beaten up. It goes on and on and on about his film scheduling and such. So, Mike, I dig The Rock competing at WrestleMania. I like Elias. But if I'm getting The Rock in an actual match at WrestleMania,
yeah,
I want to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns. I want to see John Cena versus The Rock for the third time.
Yes.
I want a higher profile match than Elias.
Yep.
And I like Elias. I like Elias a lot. But I'm looking for The Rock to really have more value than Elias. This isn't Chris Jericho versus Fandango. This is The Rock in a major promo program. The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, for example. Something along those lines.
Right.
If The Rock does WrestleMania, I don't want to see 3 second rock bottom on a member of the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
I want a good, strong program. Rock versus Undertaker does it for me. Those types of matches.
Well,
what say you?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, if that's going to happen, Jimmy, then you're going to need The Rock to come back for a couple of months before. And when I say that, you need him to make an appearance at the Royal Rumble, maybe get in the ring there and then go into the February pay-per-view too, because we saw that happen with The Undertaker 2 years ago, going into WrestleMania 33, and he came back and got that time there. I don't know. I don't know if he's in phenomenal shape. There's no hiding behind that. Look at him on Instagram every day, for crying out loud, working on the gym and his diet routine. It's unbelievable. But, you know, does he still have that condition in him? And I think that's a big risk for them to do that if you're going to put him in a high-profile match. Like, that'd be awesome, but he's going to have to give the time where will have to commit himself to a good 2 to 3 months. And if you are going to go with the Elias route there, it's just setting up Elias to be that kind of joker, more or less.
The thing is, Elias is a good worker.
He is,
but
he's going to get his ass kicked.
I don't see him being a main event guy right now. Maybe when we get to the Royal Rumble, things will be different and he'll be higher up the card, but I don't see Elias being a main event guy to be in a program with The Rock right now.
Yeah, and I think Elias is the kind of guy that does need a championship around him soon. I really do.
Give him the
Intercontinental.
Yeah, let him run with the Intercontinental Championship. Mike, I know you have something you would like to promote as we close up here. It relates to the Pawtucket Red Sox.
That's right, Jimmy. Yes, coming up on Friday, August the 10th, down at McCoy Stadium. It is a big show down there, and it's featuring Mick Foley, who will be in the house. I know you're a big Mick Foley fan.
Favorite wrestler of all time.
He is. Look at that. And tickets are available at pawsox.com. Big Time Wrestling, that's Friday, October 10th. Also, BTW Tickets. Foley, Kevin Nash, Emma is going to be there.
We met Emma in New Orleans. She's a good egg.
Yes, we did. She's awesome. She's great. James Ellsworth will be there.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yep, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Did I say Jack Swagger? And the badass Billy Gunn will be there. So that'll be coming up on Friday, August the 10th at Pawtucket. Meet and greet 6 to 8. Bell time is at 8 o'clock. Home, of course, of the AAA affiliate, the Boston Red Sox, the Pawtucket Red Sox. So there you go. Going to be a good one down there.
Go ahead.
Oh, one more thing, too. Did you see the NWO, the double show they're having in September?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, coming on September 14th to La Lasher Park. This is the home of the Lowell Spinners, the single-A affiliate of the Red Sox. Big Time Wrestling back in Lowell on Friday, September 14th. NWO, you'll have Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac, who we know as the 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman. They'll be at Lasher Park on Friday, September 14th. And then the following night, same show, they'll be at Campanelli Stadium in Brockton. So great opportunity right there to meet the NWO, and that's coming in September to Lowell and then to Brockton the night after. Going to be a good one right there.
Well done. We've
pretty good,
we've met and we've taken photos with those guys, and they're good guys. At least they have been to us. I can't speak for anything else.
Totally.
I want to close with Something to Wrestle. Bruce and Conrad, they're coming to Boston. They're doing a show at the Kowloon October 21st, that morning afternoon. They're going to give you enough time to get to the live event that night. Even if you're doing VIP, shout out Billy Smith. If you want tickets to that event, it's 781-233-0077. 781-233-0077. And this is old school. Ticket office is open noon to 11 p.m. Eastern time. You have to call and you have to give an actual person your credit card information. That's how it works there.
Jimmy, just a quick correction if I didn't say that. If you don't mind, on the Lowell, it's TRP. That's the promotion. TRP.
Oh, Top Rope Promotions or Top
Sorry
Rope Productions.
That.
Promotions, yep, whatever. It's something like that.
My apologies on that. TRP, they do a great job. Jimmy, by the way, one more thing.
Sure.
I think we should close. We'd be remiss if we did not pass along our condolences to the family of Nikolai Volkov, who passed away this weekend. The WWE Hall of Famer, 70 years young. Really shocked to hear this one. Good friend of mine, Dom Bravo, best friends with Nikolai Volkov. Very upset over this one. And, you know, it was a surprise to everybody. And we lost another legend. And the very sudden passing, too, of Brian Christopher. It seems like the situation's a little fluid, but very sad to hear that. Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher, too sexy. So tough day today in the professional wrestling world. Lost a couple of good guys.
Yeah, and Nikolai Volkov, the people kind of in our age bracket don't know that he was a main eventer against Bruno.
Right.
Years and years and years ago. You know, people probably remember him more teaming with the Iron Sheik and having a short program with Hulk Hogan, but he was a main eventer against Bruno. I believe against Bruno. But he main evented for Vince McMahon Sr. A lot of years before he was with the Iron Sheik in a tag team and taking the leg drop every night from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I had one interaction that I mentioned on Twitter with Nikolai Volkov. It was in Orlando. He was at one of the accesses that I went to. And I told him that I would always stand for the Russian national anthem. He laughed, and with a smile on his face, he said, "You're lying to me."
That's great. Now that's a good memory right there.
So
he was at WrestleCon this year too, and just really, really upset and sad to see that he passed away just a few months after we saw him in the flesh.
You can follow me on Twitter. I am at @IamJamesStewart. Mike Riley is at Sarge985. Mike, the final word is yours.
Yeah, and don't forget, at WrestleCast985 on Twitter as well for this particular podcast. Don't forget, coming up before SummerSlam, that watch-along poll will be doing SummerSlam 1995. It is the ladder match between Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. It was a democracy. That's what you people wanted. That's what you people got. And because of that, you all get a salute for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.